closely talk.
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on July 13th, 2008.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Tonight, Micro Bear from the Central Ohio Paranormal Society joins us. Later, Ken Berg invades the Haunted Winery. Finally, Secrets of the Mystery Schools will be unveiled by Kayla Ambrose.
Together in the studio in weeks.
It has been weeks.
Last week was a pre-tape show, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh my gosh, this is a tri-hosted show, too.
Well, yeah, there are three hosts.
We've got
show.
All three of us in the studio at once.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It is.
Sure, it is.
I don't want any way to sound too excited on that.
I love it here.
Well,
exciting night tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, last weekend, as maybe a couple of you know, the show, well, the people have listened, they know, it was a pre-tape show.
Yeah, I streamed it out from Roswell, New
York. You did, which that was just, you know, the thing was, and we'll talk a little bit about this stuff, Doug was in Roswell, New Mexico for the, 400th annual,
UFO
festival, right?
Yeah, the alien festival.
The alien festival.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, on location shooting for, you know, some friends. Like last summer, you guys know, the plaque hanging on the wall. We had them drop in. Our friends from Biorhythm Productions North, Jason, everybody from there, great bunch of people. They asked myself and Fat Jesus to come down and get our butts kicked by somebody on film. So we'll be right over. That's how it was. And I had a feeling we were going to have an issue of me getting back on time on Sunday. It was, you know, we were just going to run it with me and Bonnie, but you and I discussed that and said, you know what, I think we're going to run into some problems here, so why don't we just pre-tape the interviews, and whoever's where and available, they'll be able to just broadcast it out off their laptop.
Exactly. You know? I'd put it on my laptop, you'd have it on the station, you know, the studio computer.
Yep.
We'd have it all set, ready to stream out.
Yeah, and we, lucky we did that, because...
Yes.
It happened. I didn't get out of the filming, and I was an hour away anyways, and I didn't get done filming myself with those guys from at 7:30 p.m.
I learned something about my laptop in that when I'm streaming the show,
yeah,
it must come over the speakers. Like, you can't not have it on your speakers.
Oh, so you gotta have it blaring the whole time.
So it was blaring the whole time, so I took...
Put a set of headphones on it, then.
Well, right? I didn't even have any, because I was, you know, trying to travel light, right?
Yeah.
So I just stuck it in the bathroom and closed the door.
Well, hey, it worked. We got the show out. Everybody was happy. And yeah, thanks for working with us on that, everybody. It was. We don't do that very often.
No,
you know, when we do a show, it's live. You know, and you know, there's a lot of shows out there. They pre-tape all the shows,
which has got to be wonderful because that way you can produce it.
You can, you know. Whereas we do the show live and then we archive it, and then you know, there's not really any. I mean, there's editing done to it, but not really.
Right,
there's
editing and leveling. You know,
levels are fixed here and there and stuff like that that we know you just can't control in a live setting. But generally, it's all live, and then we just archive for people to listen to. That's kind of how we've been doing it since day one, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Nope.
Unless we just get completely lazy. We've been known to do that sometimes.
That's it. We're going to tape the shows from now on.
Yeah.
Actually, it made Sunday night really, really interesting because I couldn't really go anywhere while it was streaming out.
Well, yeah, in case it blew up.
And I couldn't, you know. So I was like stuck still for three. Not stuck. I mean, that's the wrong word. But I was unable to, you know, go do things in Roswell for that 3 hours. But it was still, you know, fun. I did indeed pop over to the pool for about 20 minutes and took a dip and then came back and made sure it was still streaming.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's not like I, you know, was sitting there in front of the computer and having it, you know, watching the levels. But.
Yeah. Well, that's the dedication we have here at Ghostly Talk. We make sure the show is broadcast no matter what.
Stream it out.
Except when we're on the road. That was one of those exceptions, kind of like the gray area weekend last weekend. Usually when we're traveling, and I'll tell everybody, you know, people hear us talk about this when we're, you know, wherever. And the rule we have in the studio here now is if the trip we take on a weekend, because usually these things are weekenders, if it's longer than a three-hour drive, then we don't do the show.
Because otherwise we're rushing back to get here.
It's killer on us to do that. And no, I'm not whining, but you know, it's just how we do it.
Right.
But we always try to bring something back. Like I said before, we always try to bring something back from if it's a conference.
Right.
We always try to bring back, you know, we record the speakers or we do interviews there and stuff like that. Something for people to check out and listen to, you know. So, you know, it isn't a lost cause completely. I think we bring back a lot of great stuff usually. We always bring back these lectures. And as a matter of fact, speaking of which, from the American Ghost Conference. Check those out. Those are up in the archives right now too. I think I still have to edit. Rosemary asked me to do something to her.
Right.
It's the only one that isn't up there right now, but everybody else is up there. So I'll get Rosemary's. That's something I forgot to do, of course. That's something I'll take care of this week for everybody, so you can check out Rosemary's discussion, because from what I understand, I wasn't there for that one. I just couldn't be there. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And I have to sit down and listen to it also, so I'm looking forward. I think from what I understand too, I got ripped on really bad too. There was some.
How is that different?
Ghostly
Talk every
normal.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, that's you. This is Rosemary, so it is different.
But Rosemary and I have been hanging out together, so, you know.
Oh, really?
At conferences and stuff, and I tell her.
And Bonnie is addictive.
So. Yeah,
yeah, check that out. I'll have the Rosemary thing up hopefully in the next couple of days. We'll take care of that. So that should be pretty cool. I got to ask you know, we'll talk a little bit about the filming thing, but I want to hear about Roswell.
Okay.
Because I've heard bits and pieces, and I figured we were going to wait till, you know, the jam session to really, you know, get it out here. So let's start from the beginning.
If you're thinking of going to the Roswell Alien Festival 2009,
mm-hmm.
Put the money away and go to the Mothman Festival 2008 or 2009, because it's not what I expected.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the entire plan changed completely, almost 100%. I was the only element of the original plan that actually made it to Roswell, because it was supposed to be Gowan, and me, and then Sean.
Well, I heard that Gowan had a root canal the day before.
Canal.
So hope you're recovering, Gowan. Gowan from Encounters Radio.
Yes.
Hope you're feeling better, because that's a lot of trauma in your mouth.
Right. And
besides the usual trauma.
So
especially for Gowan.
Oh, I think his mouth can.
And we're going to stop him.
It was supposed to be Gowan and Sean and me, and it ended up being my friends Craig and Steve and me.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So if they wanted to come through, you'd have been on your own.
Bonnie was invited, but as soon as you hear the word alien or UFO, it puts her to sleep. She's like,
how can you be not interested in UFOs?
It's just not her topic.
Just
like dreams are not my topic.
That is kind of a weird
subject.
There
are some people that can hold my interest on that subject, but I knew that this was, for lack of a better word, going to be a freak show.
How about John Tenney? Could he hold your interest on
UFOs? I don't
know.
Doug.
Well, that's true. None of us have actually ever seen one of his lectures from, what's it called, Weird Lectures or Strange Lectures?
Weird Lectures. So I can't make a judgment call on that one.
Okay.
So anyway.
What about...
Stop it right now.
Quizzing each other. So basically...
I'm not on the hot seat. Leave me alone.
The whole plan went up in smoke, but, you know, luckily Craig and Stevie pulled through.
Yes. Roswell is an interesting place. I'm glad I went. I can now forever say I went, you know, I did a sojourn or whatever. Not a sojourn. What do they call it?
I would say a
pilgrimage.
Crusade, that's the wrong
a pilgrimage. Yeah, a crusade. I had a cross on my back. I'm like,
pilgrimage is good.
Pilgrimage. I made a pilgrimage.
How about missionary work?
No, because I tried not to talk to many of the people.
So unlike you.
I know, but they were kind of... Even, okay, they have a parade, right, at the end. It's like the almost the culmination. I mean, there is some
stuff
the
next day. It's
like
the big climax.
The celebration is this parade, right? Mm-hmm. And so peppered throughout the street. There was no problem parking for the parade whatsoever.
Yeah.
We just pulled right up. We slid into a spot. Didn't even need a handicap permit or anything to get a good spot. It was just like there was no problem parking.
Yeah.
We parked, 20 minutes before the parade.
Yeah.
Went and scoped out a spot at the side of the road, which was not very hard at all because there was plenty of spots by the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're looking at... Now, directly across from us was the ultimate dweeb in the universe. He was into...
Your twin brother?
Right. He was into this, like, 100%. It was so freaky.
Yeah.
He was even doing, like, the... Vulcan high thing or whatever. I don't know. How do they do it? Oh, like this or something? I don't know.
As like the exhibits were coming by in the parade?
Yeah, and he was doing like whatever the Vulcan greeting is.
That's kind of like the metal equivalent of like throwing the horns
right.
Ronnie James Dio or something.
Right. It was just really freaking
I didn't know like there was that kind of subculture, like hardcore geekdom.
There is. This guy was it.
I mean, I know there is, but I didn't know like they had like they were a secret society with hand symbols and all
but
that.
But he was the only person who was really into the parade. Even like the parade had a clown in it.
Yeah,
and
you mentioned
the clown was having a miserable time. And I'm like, okay, when the clown is unhappy, it's just not the best of events.
The clown.
The clown was unhappy.
What'd the clown look like?
It's
a clown, I know.
It was a clown. I was riding a little like moped or whatever, and it was just miserable. I mean, if he didn't have a smile painted on, he would have been, you know, like frowning the entire time. He was just not... He looked like any standard clown, but he was having a really bad time.
Interesting.
Yeah, poor guy.
What else happened?
So the parade was a bust. The one good thing is I did get to go up and talk to, briefly, Stanton Friedman.
Yeah.
I didn't stalk him at all the entire weekend. I met him, actually, like Sunday, just before we were going back to the hotel to crash because we'd have to leave at like 7 in the morning on Monday morning in order to get back to the Albuquerque to fly out. And it's a 200-mile drive from Albuquerque to Roswell and then from same thing going back. So
a 3-hour drive back and forth?
Yep.
He didn't tell you that part.
Ooh, so,
God.
In a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
And then you gotta fly on top of all that?
You stick me and Craig and Steve in a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Speaking of clowns.
Yeah, it was like us being in a clown car.
Boing!
It's pretty much a 2-seater car. Like, it does have a back seat, you know, but you can't fit a real human in the back seat.
Yeah.
You can fit, like, maybe a car seat. Like a baby in a car seat might fit.
Well, that's what the trunk's for.
Well, the trunk was full
mothers
of
all over the world just shut off the show.
Yeah, I know. but that's pretty much it. I mean, like our stuff was in the trunk, so
it was
Steve, unfortunately, laying across the back seat because there's no leg room when you put the seats back in the front.
Mm-hmm.
There literally is 0 inches, 0 millimeters, or whatever.
Yeah.
It, like your seat is hitting the back seat, so there's no place for legs.
Mm-hmm.
So the person in the back seat has to lay across the back seat.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So you stuffed Stevie back there.
I looked it up online.
Stop calling him Stevie. Call him Steve.
Yeah, because Stevie is a different guy. Stevie is someone else.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
a part of the clip. I'm sorry. I thought I was accepted, but I don't know all the
you
lingo.
Are
oh,
accepted.
You'll get it. Yes. You'll get it eventually. But anyway, so what happens is they... So Steve was laying across the back seat, and We drove 200 miles like that, and then 200 miles back like that.
My God.
In the desert heat. So
then you had to carry him onto the plane because he lost all circulation in his legs.
So, yeah, it was, that was not.
Were there any exhibits? I mean, I thought this was, you know, when I've heard about this thing over the years, I mean, I picture like this, like, mammoth festival with people walking all over with their UFO shirts on or whatever it may be, you know.
That's what I,
you know, I just pictured, like, you know, like a lot of ghost hunting conferences we go to. You got a whole bunch of people there, you know, you got the vendors and the speakers and all this cool stuff.
They had a vendor, they did have a vendor area.
Yeah.
And you know you could wander around the vendor area, and it was pretty cool. It was you know, pretty much standard fare for vendor areas.
Mm-hmm.
Only it was related obviously to science fiction and aliens and things like that. They did have Miss New Mexico or Miss New Mexico Galaxy or something. I don't know the full title, but it was Miss New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
She was there. We each got our pictures taken with her.
Oh, okay.
And then she signed a little card, you know, her normal card thing for us, and so it'll be interesting to watch the. I never watch Miss America, but maybe I will.
Yeah, she's going to be on TV. She's actually going to be on like, the pageant.
I hope so. I mean,
oh, wow.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, I put my arm around her. Hot.
So, but she was, we got our pictures taken with her, and so it was just essentially a photo op there.
Yeah.
The rest was just, you know, kind of lame. Oh, food! Oh, food was phenomenal.
Here's the high point.
Yes. It was pretty much an entire eating weekend,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know how I complain about going on trips with all y'all, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact opposite going with Craig and Steve.
Why is that?
Because we planned our food the minute we drove down Main Street.
Okay.
It's like, okay, we're going to hit that, and that.
All right.
And there were like 8 places with only 2 days. So it was like perfect. We were going to eat 4 times a day. I was super happy. I was like on cloud 9. So they actually have, now here's the thing, here in Southeast Michigan, for the past like 8 to 10 or 15 or 20 years, they have been advertising a fast food joint called Sonic.
Dude, okay.
We've never had one until recently, and we got one downriver. Right,
there's one downriver. Okay, I got a comment on this, because we've been seeing, Sonic isn't paying us for this airtime.
No, they're not. I question the company.
Because
why were they blasting us with commercials for 10 years?
Yeah.
And we had no ability to actually go get one of
them. They're all down south. If you go to, like, Tennessee and stuff down there, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But Amber just mentioned this a couple nights ago, because we've been talking about this for a while. We see these commercials all the time, you know, for Sonic, and there isn't one around here anywhere. And,
right.
And Amber asked, she's like, is there one? I'm like, well, maybe there's one, like, in a mall somewhere. I don't know. I mean, but there's one downriver.
There is one downriver.
Okay. All right.
And it's packed all the time.
I can imagine. It's the only one in Michigan.
The only one, yeah. Evidently, they're building one up near, what is it, Grosbeck and, somewhere in Mount Clemens on Grosbeck. Where they're building
the winery
new,
here, yeah.
Where they're building the new humongous Meyer thing or whatever. They tore down Hillcrest, completely tore it down, and they bought the golf course next to Hillcrest, and now they're making a campus.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a completely...
A campus. A shopping campus.
Commercialized campus, yeah.
A shopping... Is that what they call it?
Right.
A campus?
I think it's called a campus.
It's called a strip mall.
Yeah. It's a glorified strip mall.
That's what it is. It's a campus. Welcome to the shopping campus.
Pretty much.
Where you'll spend money.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think they must have been jealous... Mount Clemens must have been jealous of... I don't know, what city would... Sterling Heights, where the Partridge Creek is?
Uh-huh.
The open-air mall...
Whatever.
But anyway, so they're going to have a Sonic evidently on or near the campus, the Meyer campus up in Mount Clemens. But yeah, they had a Sonic there, so we're like, okay, that's the first place we're eating Sonic. Then later on, they had a thing, or later on down the line, they had a thing called a Whataburger. That's the it's like what a burger,
mm-hmm.
only it's all run together with no spaces. So I'm sure if you go to Whataburger.com, although I haven't tried this, but I'm pretty sure that that's going to take you to this place's website, because it's Whataburger all run together with no spaces, and we ate there. And I actually liked the Whataburger burger better than the Sonic burger, but, you know, what am I going to do?
Whataburger, established 1950.
That's it.
Is that it right there?
Yep. Or
it must be a chain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Whataburger.
Oh, you can get gift cards.
Well, maybe they should give us a couple for talking about them.
Then you'd have to go but we'd have to go to Roswell to actually
use them. Yeah, we'll spend $800 getting down there to spend $5 on food.
Right.
Great, okay.
Although it's good food. I enjoyed Whataburger a lot.
Was it fast food? Or it looks like
it's
fast food.
It's a little fast food joint, but it's equivalent to our Culver's, kind of, only without the frozen custard.
And the water fountain?
And
they have a water fountain in Culver's, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been to them a couple times because Amber loves Culver's. She loves Culver's.
I mean, I was there twice, maybe.
Yeah.
So, but...
Well, where else did she eat, Doug?
Well, we went to this place called the Rib Crib.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was... but see, I'm not into sauces. And the whole thing at the Rib Crib is the sauces.
Yeah.
And I'm just not into them.
I could dig that.
Craig was in heaven. He's like, squirting all sauce.
Knowing Craig, he's a sauce fanatic.
Yeah, but I wasn't, so I'm like, all right, so I'm eating these dry ribs. But they did, you know, they were tender, so that was okay.
Well, good for the Rib Crib. I'm glad they got tender ribs.
So we just had a blast. We ate it pretty much everywhere up and down the line.
The only good part of your trip was the food.
Yeah, and we ate constantly. And it was like you guys complain about our trip.
Okay,
it was
sorry.
For real.
But that one trip at when we went to Terre Haute, Indiana, all you and Will wanted to do was eat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I know that the human body should actually ingest food every 6 hours.
Right.
That's the rule. I just think I have a really slow
metabolism. All I know is I'm not the only one who have noticed our eating habits on trips.
Mm-hmm.
Because the demon hunter.
I know
hunter
what
Nathan.
You're going to say, and okay, let's drop it. That was one time on one trip, and we were all starving at that point.
Okay,
all right. I blew her kiss.
So it sounds like you had a great time eating in Roswell, New Mexico.
That's what we did. We ate in Roswell, New Mexico. It was amazing. The food was fantastic. The alien festival. You guys, seriously.
Wasn't that good, huh?
No matter how into UFOs you are, the Mothman Festival is, you know, I'm going to have to, send a basket or something to Jeff because he just totally...
He makes it a good time.
I don't know.
And that's coming up pretty quick.
Because I think all he does is, here's going to be a vendor area, here's a speaker area, here's what we'll have, the Mothman pancakes or whatever.
Yeah.
And there he just lets it run. I mean, he's obviously busy 24/7 when it's happening. And it's a busy time organizing it. But I think it's just more like once everything is in place, it just sort of happens. The magic
happens. It does. I mean,
the UFO Festival was more like, you know, it was like trying to ride a bicycle with maybe a rusted old chain. It's like, this is just more work.
Just didn't come off the didn't come off the ground more or less.
Right? It didn't launch.
Pretty good pun there.
That was not bad.
I'm proud of myself.
Thank you. Pretty good.
Well,
so that happened.
Sorry, dude. I mean, well, hey, you did it.
I did it. I was in Roswell, New Mexico. Yes, where the UFO apparently crashed nearby, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I did it. I did my little trip out there. So I was really happy about having accomplished that.
Yeah.
And the pool was phenomenal at the Super 8, so I was good to go.
Kudos to the Super. How many endorsements have we done this
time? I don't know, but I have to.
Sonic, Super 8. Who else? What's up?
There is just one thing I want to thank Shane for sending me a message that the website was down.
We had an issue with the site earlier.
Yes, I heard.
It's up and running now. Yeah, thank you, Shane, for giving us the heads up on that.
I wasn't answering my phone today.
Oops. No, you weren't.
And
No, he wasn't.
The only reason I called you is because I was on the road, and I was just going to give you a call and go, hey, can you run those commands?
Can you
do that? And you didn't pick up. So, of course, I cursed your name for about a half an hour, and then I got here. Yeah.
Well, Bonnie cursed my name for an hour, and then she cursed my name when I was on the phone with her, finally.
Yeah, well...
This past weekend, or this past week, or before the weekend, I don't know, it was Thursday, I went out and celebrated Devin's graduation.
Yeah, I mentioned this,
he
for sure.
He graduated from school.
Yes,
and he's now released into the work world.
Yeah, good luck.
Poor work world.
You've been released into the work
world.
Poor
both of you.
There's no work out there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, good luck.
Hey, good luck with that. But no, congratulations, Devin.
Yes, congratulations. I had an absolute blast. I had a phenomenal time.
Good.
Phenomenal time. And it was amazing.
Good. And congratulations to Devin also. Yeah, that was the big thing. But and thank you again to Shane for helping us out today.
Yes,
on the site.
Much
that
so.
Was that's a big thing. I'll recap briefly what happened to me last Sunday.
Yeah.
You'll get a good one. This is some it's all hilarity from beginning
you
to
got
end.
Beat up, right?
Which well, yeah,
totally
you know,
cool.
Well, if you go to the website,
I'm sorry I wasn't there to see it.
If you go to the website, you can see what is it? On the homepage, I threw up a video that that Jay Scott, who's you know the main director for BioRhythm North, when we were asked to do this little this sequence for the film, the movie is called The Brawler.
Right.
It's like an old it's a kickback to the old school like Clint Eastwood like you know what is it Every Which Way But Loose, all those you know those old fighting films.
Any Which Way You Can.
Any Which Way You Can, whatever. Loose. Yeah, whatever maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. Those old
things.
Those good tough guy films. This is kind of what that is, right? And
it's a good old 5-syllable title.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the only. The Brawler. It's only 3 syllables, but it'll still work, right?
Part two.
Okay. There you go. All right. But we were asked, actually, even before we could even do this thing, we had to go and do fight training. And that's what's up on the website, if you want to check that out. It's just some fun stuff that FJ and I went out there and did some training, learned how to do stuff, learned how to fall and all that neat stuff. And that's up on the site. I got out to Howell, Michigan. Howell, Michigan. We were just there the weekend before, as a matter of fact.
Right.
The Michigan Paranormal Expo. So I spent a lot of time in Howell in June. And met up with those guys around 11, and went over to the bar. We were filming this act. It was the scene. Totally Korean food. It's killing me right now. the scene was at a bar, and you know, it was a you know, it makes me admire still the complexity of doing a film, because I think at the end of the day, when this thing's done, it'll only be a couple of minutes. That this, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, maybe longer.
Right.
But, you know, we spent pretty much 11 a.m., you know, between traveling to the bar and then doing the filming work and stuff. I didn't leave there till like 7:30 at night.
Wow.
So it was a very long day, and, you know, and it's a challenge, you know, what Jason told me last year when I did the work with him on Red River, you know, he's like, we're Michigan's most dangerous film, you know, film house. Because you work. You don't get a break, and you don't just sit there and say some lines and then go home. You know, the one thing that was hard on me was, well, first of all, it was really hot that day, and we had to wear, you know, we were wearing our leather jackets. We're looking like some tough guy biker dudes.
Right.
So I broke out my old leather from back like 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, that, yeah, my old leather jacket. And I had that thing. And but the part of the scene is that I couldn't wear my sunglasses. And we were in the middle of a field with the sun just blaring down on us, right? Hair down, too. My hair's always pulled back, you know. So
wow.
My hair's down. I got a big, you know, full head of hair. So my hair, I'm sweating to death. Tim and I are both dying out there. Everybody, you know, the main actors, Tevin and Dave, Tevis and Dave, were the main actors. They were, you know, the main characters of that scene. And they were both just hot. We were, you know, and the craziest thing that happened, actually, is, you know, this is a fight scene, and it's all simulated fighting and all that stuff. You want to keep it safe. You want to keep it cool. And there was a cut they were doing, because this is all choreographed. It's amazing. These guys did such a phenomenal job choreographing this whole, you know, what's supposed to look like a fight, you know, a random fight. And there was, unfortunately, one casualty. There was a couple casualties, but the main casualty is that Dave, who plays, you know, the main character from the film, the brawler, he took out Tevis, who plays Luther. He took a left swing at him and actually connected one time. Cracked him right in the mouth. And he went. But, you know, hats off to Tevis also, because he really, really, you know, he took a full shot. I mean, he connected. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you know, a complete, you know, close fist blow to the head, but he took a shot to the mouth, and he went down.
Wow.
But he was playing that off, though, too. And we stopped, and everybody's like, oh, my God, are you all right? He's like, keep going. Let's go. How does it look? He's got blood coming out of his mouth.
Wow.
He's like, let's keep going. Let's just get through this thing. I want to see. It's going to look great, you know. And Jay, the director's like, you know, hey, wait a minute. No. He's like, no, let's go for it. Let's get it done. So they did. They finished that first cut. We went back and did it a few more times. But I just admired his dedication. That, you know, yeah, I think this was a big, strong, well-built man who's in, you know, physically, you know, superior conditions. He could take a shot and keep going.
Yeah.
That was scary to watch that. But these guys did a great job. And we, you know, Tim and I did our part with the rest of the people there, and it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, by the end of the day, my head was just killing me from all the sunlight. You know, I spend too much time in the sun without my sunglasses on. I get a really bad headache.
Yeah.
So I knew it was time at the end of the day for me to call it a day, but we got out of there. It was a successful shoot. Everything went really well, and it was a lot of fun, so hopefully we'll get to see some of that, you know, when the time goes on and they start cutting the stuff up and editing it. I'll let you guys check it out. It's pretty cool. Just some fun stuff we're doing on the side.
That'll be pretty cool.
It was a good time. It was worth it. It was really
worth it. I was also looking up... evidently, you remember we talked about the Morrow Road project, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's Francis.
Francis, yeah.
He's doing that project, and evidently at the beginning of the month, they did indeed at the beginning of this month, which was only a few days ago, 13 days ago, they got their insurance for the film
good.
Lined up, so it's happening.
Should call them. Yeah, we haven't talked to Francis in a long time, and he came on the show. This is a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
that's how long he's been working on this thing.
Yeah,
a while.
It's going to be an amazing movie. I'm sure of it. So
yeah, that was a
lot of independent.
Yeah, always
going on here in Michigan,
along with lots of other good stuff going on too. Keep an eye on that stuff. We got to go to break though.
Okay,
coming up, Mr. Mike Robert from COPS Central Ohio Paranormal Society. This is who John Schicchetti. Remember John Schicchetti?
Yep.
It's the group he belongs to.
Oh, excellent.
So you want to talk to Mike also. So on the other side of this break, we're going to be talking to Mike Robert. Hang tight.
All right, listen up, everybody. I'm D. Snyder from Twisted Sister. Yeah, you know me from Strangeland and the House of Aaron, TV and Stardust on Screen. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Know that.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out karmakast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac from Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. Hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Mac, Nightmare Cinema. Bye!
My sweet baby, it's just a little Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Okie dokie.
Aha. Micro Bear first got interested in the paranormal after growing up in a haunted house in the Detroit area.
Yeah!
Totally rock. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to talk to him about that. After moving to Columbus in 1989, he also experienced a few paranormal encounters through a 10-year span at a relative's home in a Columbus suburb. After reading many books on ghosts and paranormal research, he decided to form COPS, Central Ohio Paranormal Society, in June of 2004. The website is www.centralohioparanormal.com. That's Central Ohio Paranormal, all run together, no spaces. Micro Bear, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we've been trying to pull this together for a while. You know, this is like, if I don't put it on a piece of paper, it just doesn't get done nowadays. I think the dementia has finally kicked in, and I know we've been trying to get you lined up here for a while, and I finally, like, wrote it down and said, okay, I have to call Mike and get this taken care of. So, sorry about the delay, man, but we got you here. We're happening. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, too.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have been around since June of 2004, it says here, Mike.
Yeah.
And I know, I have to mention this also. I mentioned this on the, we were talking about this on the break briefly. John Cicchetti, who's a good friend of the show,
yeah.
He's a part of your team also. He was one of the people that took us around Ohio Wesleyan University. He was the person that took us down.
Right.
So, he's a really good friend of ours. And, you know, you guys, I mean, I just have to say, Mike, you got a top-notch person, I know for a fact, there working with you guys. So, you know, kudos to you.
Yeah, John's a great guy.
Yeah, and John is passionate because, some people, they have their approach like, you know, okay, well, we've had some activity here, you know, and stuff like that, like their verbiage, right? Where John's like, they're here. They're here. This is where they're at, Scott. They're here, and they're making noise. Let's check it out, right? And
he's there every night.
Yeah!
He goes into the places by himself, you know, and makes sure the doors are locked and stuff like that. And, you know, I would like to have his job, to be honest.
Well, yeah, one of the things that, you know, that was mentioned about him is just that, is that he ghost hunts every night. Every single night. So, you know, that would be to make a living on top of that too, and learn the craft and learn more things. That's what we say here all the time about ghost hunting in general is, you know, it's repetition. Keep going back to these places over and over again, and that's got to be the best case of that I've ever seen is with John doing that work
every night.
Yeah, and making a living too. I think that's even cooler part. You know, Ohio Wesleyan University is one place. You guys were actually out last night, weren't you?
Yeah, we did a local residential case here. Actually, it's in the Columbus suburb of Groveport, and we were there before this place, and what had happened is a double murder had taken place in the house in the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we were there, we got direct interaction on audio evidence.
Really? And,
yeah. I don't know what's going to happen during this evidence review, but it seemed like it was a little bit more calm last night for some reason. The house is empty. The guy that lived there before has moved out, and his dad owns the house. And he said, you know, if you guys want to come back out and check it out, you're more than welcome to. So we jumped on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a lot of renovations going on and stuff like that. So hopefully that'll have something to do with, you know, our evidence review.
Well, you talked about this direct contact, and this was from an investigation previous. What do you mean by that, if I may ask? Like, you know, how did that work as far as direct contact was concerned?
Well, we had a sensitive in our group at the time, and this was back in 2006 around Halloween.
Okay.
And we were contacted from a local radio station here, and they had called in and wanted us to come out, so we did.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our former members, Larry Copeland, he was the sensitive in our group, but he said that he felt something and wanted to communicate in the basement, which were, you know, that's where the murders happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he felt the presence of a woman, and he was asking questions, and he asked, could you please manifest? Mm. And he got an answer that says, I'm trying.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it was straightforward, no bones about it, direct answer.
Oh, wow. And that came through on the recordings, you said?
Yeah, yep.
Wow. Dang, yeah. That's really cool. Now,
yeah.
I have never got anything like that. Have you, Doug?
No, not an answer like that. Well, I mean, we had the interaction, but it wasn't like that.
Well, yeah, there was the only thing I can remember in our history of doing research, and this was like years ago.
Yeah,
was with the Gauss meter. You remember that? Were you there that night for that thing at the Custer Cemetery? Here in Michigan. Were you there that night for that thing?
I don't think I was there, but I've heard all about it.
Well, there's this cemetery here, Mike, called Custer Cemetery. I think that's what it was called. It was a really cool cemetery, actually. Really old cemetery. And there was this corner of it.
I think it's actually called the Lenox Burial Ground.
Is that what it's called?
But we always called it Custer Cemetery.
Custer Cemetery?
Yeah.
This is a name we made up, I guess.
Because it's on Custer Road.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Custer Cemetery. But there was a hot corner, we called it. There was a corner there that just seemed like there was always something weird going on. And I remember one night we were back there and we had the Gauss meter and we're like, you know, hey, is there anyone here? And the thing kind of started to beep and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. We got it on tape, too. And then you hear, somebody's like, well, hey, are you inside the cemetery or are you outside the fence? It just beeped. Now, that was no answer.
Oh, I was there for that.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
I remember that line of questioning. And you had just gotten the Olympus. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, I did. And
you
I
had just
recorded
gotten the
it
Olympus.
With. Yeah. So and that was like the only interaction I think we've ever really experienced. That was a long, long time ago.
Right.
Well, speaking of equipment, too, you guys specialize in equipment. Am I correct?
Yeah, we try to go out and, find the best deals that we can instead of, just running over to Best Buy and buying a, IR camera or something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look and see, say, hey, we want to get two new, infrared night shot cameras or something.
Yeah.
Like I said, we won't run to the stores and buy them. We'll actually search around online and try to find the best possible deal.
Yeah.
And whether it be eBay or, any place like that, they got some, direct places where you can buy, like, refurbished floor models, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all you have to do to, equip your group is, just don't go out to the stores right off the bat unless it's,
mm-hmm.
for something that you really want. Research it a little bit, and you can usually save yourself a lot of money.
Well, we preach that all the time here, too. Mm-hmm. I can't count how many lectures I've been to on, EVP research, which is a great example,
mm-hmm.
Where people, and I'm not knocking the speakers for this either, but they'll go, if you want to do, analyze this data or analyze these waves or sounds, you want to use something like, Adobe Audition, which we use that to produce the show with,
yes,
right? It's a fantastic piece of software. We actually, we own a copy of it,
yep.
And I love it. But when you're just starting out in this field, if you're new to it, that's a $400 software suite. That's expensive.
Exactly. Very expensive.
Powerful as hell, I'll agree, but there is a program that we that's what we used it back in the day, originally, to produce the show with was Audacity,
Right.
Mm-hmm. Free.
It's free. It's completely,
right.
God bless SourceForge.
Bang
Force
for the buck
you know.
Is right there.
Yeah, and it's from a software standpoint, there's so much stuff out there that is completely free. It isn't going to have all the features, but usually you don't need them anyway, but just for some good, audio analyzation, chop them up, cut things out, stretch them out, listen to things, Audacity is a good example of that,
yeah, I agree.
It don't cost you a dime, and if you're starting out, you don't want to drop $500,000
exactly.
on software, and I just, blew my chair away, dude. God, how did I do that?
Now you're like,
oh!
Down very,
sorry.
Very.
I pushed the button and I just hit the floor.
Yeah.
It totally went down. Shop around. I agree. There should be, you guys do a lot of shopping around, obviously. Are there any things you guys have done to save money as far as, just ingenuity? Like, here, we could do this a lot, how would you say, Doug?
More economically?
Well, yeah, more economically, just as opposed to going out and spending all this money on a certain thing, you can maybe make it on your own. Is there anything you guys have ever worked on like that?
Yeah, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, for example, IR illuminators.
Uh-huh.
Sony sells that one they have. It's like $40 or $50. You can go to the parts, get all the parts and stuff for that at Radio Shack for like $12. And make your own.
And make your own.
Or you can go to Walmart and get a clamp lamp and a couple of black light bulbs and pop. You got a $12 IR illuminator.
And black light bulbs, you said?
Yep, black light bulbs and the clamp style work lamps. Uh-huh. They work great with Sony night shot cameras.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. You gotta try it sometime. It works very well.
You could light up a large area with a work light.
Exactly.
With a black light bulb in it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You light up a whole room.
And what we use is we use the 60 watt bulbs in them. You can see them a little bit, but in the dark it doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
But once you look at your video camera and it's like, wow, it looks really clear, and it also does away with a lot of the IR dust orbs that you get. You'll see those little
and also your
dots
teeth.
And stuff moving around.
Yeah. And also your teeth will glow. So that'll be like really
yeah, that
cool.
That will happen too.
Yeah. It's multi-purpose.
One thing you guys that's the first thing you see.
Yeah.
It's just your teeth coming at me at full speed.
Right.
One thing you guys use also is and this is why I want to bring this up, because you do the same thing, Doug. You guys record EVP with laptops. I'm curious to what you guys
I do.
How do you guys go about doing that?
Well, we got two or three different laptops we actually got three laptops within the group. Our audio guy, Tom, he uses the Mac iBook G4, I believe, with Pro Tools. And he uses a USB, I forget what kind of interface it is, but he uses that in conjunction with an XLR microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound quality is phenomenal. And you can also get away with, going to Radio Shack and getting a Boundary microphone for like $30.
Right.
That's battery powered, and
make
sure you just have a decent audio, recording program, and pop that thing in, turn it on, and start recording. The sound quality is amazing.
See, what I do is, they do sell those, little box. I can't remember the name of them now for the life of me, but they plug into a USB port, and then you plug an XLR, and they provide the phantom power, that kind of thing. But they also sell actual USB condenser microphones.
Yeah, that's what you have.
Several different kinds, and you just plug the microphone directly in. The USB provides the 5 volts of power to the microphone, the condenser microphone. You've got your phantom power, everything all good to go.
Mm.
Yep.
But a Boundary mic, I like that idea too.
A Boundary mic?
Yeah. It's the Radio Shack ones. I forget. I don't have the model numbers with me right off the top of my head, but I think they run like $30-$35 to be exact, and they sound amazing, and it's just like an audio suction. I mean, it's like a vacuum. I mean, it's just you can hear everything in the area with these things.
Yeah. Well, it blows me away how cheap condenser-type model microphones have gotten now.
Yeah.
I remember when you mentioned, like, six...
Well, a boundary mic could be either condenser or electric, but...
Well, condenser itself, I remember when you said that, like, 5-6 years ago, that's not too long ago, you mentioned condenser mic, everybody just would go, ooh, because it's like, that's $1,000.
Yeah.
Right
there. It's a diaphragm painted with gold.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's some serious... We have one sitting right here in the studio that I just tested the other day. When I was doing, I was recording commercial stuff.
You have a $1,000 microphone with that wind cap on it?
Yeah, well
that's awesome.
Now, Mike, you'd laugh.
I want a picture.
Well, no, I was recording doing production work in here.
I would send a picture of that to James. That would be awesome.
No, I was doing production work. I was trying to, at least, and this thing was so sensitive that it just wouldn't work.
Right.
It just would not work.
You could probably hear people kicking in the pool.
Yeah, it was so loud. It just and that that's a good mic. It's a really good mic. So you got a dog there, Mike?
Yeah.
But no, it's amazing.
A bad dream.
It's amazing how cheap they've gotten nowadays, though, too. Which is another thing.
Which is awesome.
I mean,
for ghost hunters,
it's another good tool out there that you don't have to spend that much money. How much did you pay for yours, Doug?
About $100, and then I bought all the goodies, so $140 total.
That still isn't for a condenser type mic that plugs right in your laptop. And I do agree the quality you get from the audio, as opposed to like my crunchy Olympus that I have now. It's like.
Right.
Help me. it's like.
I like the way you threw the EVP in there.
Yeah. What was that? Something that said help. I mean, it's really the quality compared to the stuff I've heard off your system, Doug.
Right.
I'm sure your stuff too, Mike. It's way, way better now. So.
But if you go to there's a couple of different technologies. Like,
okay.
They're using, he's using an Apple, what do they call it, iBook or G-Book or I don't know, whatever. The
what kind
Apple
is it, Mike?
Thing.
It's an iBook G4.
iBook G4, okay.
That's what our audio guy uses.
And then you use a USB, there's a box, and I can't remember what it's called, and what it does is it plugs into the USB of the laptop, and then it provides an XLR jack.
Oh, a jack.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a DigiDesign M-Box is what it is.
An M-Box. That's exactly it. By M-Power.
Okay.
And what they do, yeah, I was looking at that at Musician's Friend and ZZ Sounds and all that.
Yeah,
And what you do is you can plug your, like we can put our studio microphones in there.
Mm-hmm.
And take them, drag them through the mud and stuff of cemeteries. And that would be cool. You want to do that?
No, I don't want to do that. That sounds like it's a costly project.
Oh.
Let's take this expensive equipment.
How much is the dangerous haunted house? What do you think?
Well, that may be just a tad bit cleaner.
If Doug's putting the bill, let's do it.
Well, Doug, if you're not paying for it, I'm all for it. All right. If you want to throw cash out, no problem.
I think he wants to.
No, I don't want to.
He does.
Speaking of that, real-time EVP. This is a new thing that's going on. More and more people are talking about
this. People have been talking
about
this for a while, but
very simple.
There's now new things that allow you to do it. What do you got?
Well, what I use is a $25 standard cassette recorder from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use my SEMA SZM Zoom microphone with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just plug that in, pop some headphones in, you can hear everything as you're recording it.
Well, the recording device doesn't have an external mic or anything like that. So you're just using the internal mic?
No, I'm using the external mic.
There's an external plugged in, okay.
Yep, and then along in conjunction with a set of, you know, good Sony headphones. And
I'm sure this is digital, too.
No.
This is a cassette.
Not if it's a cassette recorder.
It's analog.
That would be analog, yeah.
So it's a cassette recorder, then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's got to be fun trying to review.
I have a question. When you take your analog captured audio, do you immediately suck that into a computer so that you can work at it as a digital file, or do you use the tape? Because one of the things way back in the day when people were using the stretching of the tape, because as you play a tape, obviously it degrades and stretches.
Well, you're not supposed to keep recording over and over again for this stuff. That's what we were told over and over again. So don't keep using the same tape because obviously it bleeds and tape will stretch.
But one of the things that I used to do is I used to, as soon as possible, I would put, I mean, I'd review it once in the car on the way home.
It shouldn't do too much.
But then I would, as soon as I possibly could, I'd record that into the computer so that I could work at it digitally and use the tape as an archive of it. Do you guys do that or do you... You do that? Okay.
Yeah, that's the same thing I do.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, just it's evidence.
Right, and then you can preserve the tape as long as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'll spend a little bit more in tapes, you know, of course, but, you know, obviously analog and digitals both have their pros and cons, you know, like everything else. But, I mean, you call me old school. I'm totally analog.
I was just going to ask you, what do you prefer? Analog.
I prefer analog.
Why?
I've gotten some of our better EVPs with analog.
Okay.
There you go.
Is that your reason, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, no.
When we go out on an investigation, I mean, you know, there's other people in the group that use digitals and tape recorders, so we kind of try to like to have a 50-50 balance if we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether somebody's using a laptop and a digital recorder or... You know, with me, I'm using three tape recorders at once, and, you know, it's just try to balance it out as much as you can,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, and
it all depends on users, whatever you want, whatever you can afford.
Mm-hmm. And I've always said the more tape recorders, the better on an investigation, because mm-hmm. It's happened several times to us where we've gotten something on cassette. You know, I've had cassette recorders out there, and other people have had digital recorders, and we've been able to figure out and discredit things. You know, like, did you hear that? Okay, well, what's on your recorder? They may have been closer to whatever it was, whatever the tile was falling out of the ceiling or something like that.
I think there was one at the Sally House where a car drove by, but only, you know, you could tell on one recording, whereas the other recording, maybe the microphone was pointed at a different direction. It sounded like it could have been a whisper, but it was actually just a car. And you could hear it clearly on one, but all the others were, you know, it was like, you know, questionable, and you're trying to matrix it. Do some audio matrixing.
There's been a lot of instances where, you know, me and my wife are in a house or something, and she'll pick up an EVP, and, I'll be standing 5 feet away from her and not get it with a digital recorder. You know what I mean? It's weird, or vice versa.
Well, yeah, and that could be, we're actually talking to someone right now. I have talked to him. You're yet to talk to him yet, Doug.
Yeah.
Who's working on a system for that, because there is this idea, and it's something that I'm new to, that I was made aware of not too long ago, about placement and stuff like that. And there's the idea of, you know, well, why does one recorder get and the other recorder doesn't, you know? I'm not talking about, like, some type of, you know, wishy sound that, you know, may be an EVP.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, a voice. I've heard things that, you know, well, I was 5 foot away with the same recorder, and I didn't get anything, right? Well,
right.
You know, there is this idea, too, of you know, placement, where these things are too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's you know, theories and things being put into practice now to try to, like, capture that too, you know. Just, and there is the whole idea, like, well, if we have two recorders in the same place, you know, we can, you know, they should pick up the same thing. Well, not necessarily. If this is a disembodied voice and it talks in one area and you guys are standing 5-10 foot apart, I mean, it may not, obviously the recorder that's farther away, if it happened in the area where one recorder's at, right, and it may not pick up on the other recorder. So that does pose a question, which does say, oh, that's kind of weird. I didn't pick that up, too. I mean, again, it's all up for theory and discussion and, sure, plenty of fighting, too.
Well, I think also, too, you know, a lot of people that prefer digital recorders prefer, you know, something that has the USB upload capability,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but, you know, you're still going to have to listen to your recordings,
mm-hmm.
you know? You're still going to have to sit there and listen to them. But I think if you're using digital, I think the IC recorders are the way to go.
IC recorders?
Yep.
Who makes them? Yeah. I mean, that's not a brand.
IC is integrated circuit system.
Integrated circuitry or something like that. I think it's has something to do with, you know, certain filters or something within the circuitry or the way it's built,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an electrician or, you know, anything like that. But,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when I use digital, I use an IC recorder.
Yeah.
You know, I just, I'm not a real...
As opposed to going direct
to
going direct to, like, SD microchip or whatever.
Yeah.
We got, like, 1 minute, Mike. What's happening with you guys down the road? What's going on for the future of COPS?
Well, we just joined the TAPS family last month, and I mean, we've gotten, you know, we've been pretty good with cases, but now it's like we're almost getting overwhelmed with them.
Oh boy!
So we're being really selective on our cases. July's pretty much booked up. We're in the process of booking up August, and probably through September right now.
These are weekenders for you guys, right? I mean, these are weekend
gigs. Definitely. We all hold, you know, full-time jobs during the day, and, you know, we get together on Saturdays and take it from there.
Oh, man. Well, that's where it's at. I mean, that you guys are staying busy, and that's great to hear.
Yeah, we're definitely very busy.
And that's where it's at. Well, tell you what, we got to go to break, though, unfortunately.
So the website is www.centralohioparanormal.com. Central Ohio Paranormal is all one word, all run together.
Mm.
No spaces, no hyphens.
Tell John we said hi, Mike.
Will do, man.
Thank you, Mike.
Hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet, okay, Mike?
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, stand by. Yep, coming up. Ooh, I've been waiting to do that all day.
You're referring to his website name,
Mr.
right?
Mr. Side Chicken himself.
Yeah, Side Chicken Ken Burke.
Or
coming
Psychic
up.
Ken.
Psychic Ken.
Hmm.
I like Side Chicken.
I don't know. When I look at it, it's when you look at the website all written out.
I have.
It's looks,
PsychicKen.com.
I like Side Chicken better.
It's either Side Chicken or Psychic Ken. It's one or the other. I don't know.
I like Side Chicken.
Awesome.
You think he'll...
Rock! Go to break.
For more info, visit GhostlyTalk.com.